If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral with you.
The city needs saving.
What? How are we going to do this into the time trip?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire.
In the future, my name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You two will become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Absolutely. Heroes. You're legends.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to DC on RMD, Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, just take us mobile. You can do it. Find us on demand through iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify by searching DC on RMD. Ooh, almost slipped up there. I started to. And once you find us there, please go ahead, leave us a review, follow us, what have you. Man, we're winding down and we don't have any news anymore. Just, man.
Straight show.
We are almost there. We've got a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
And that is it.
Three more weeks.
All right. So
a lot to do.
Yeah, seriously. But it feels like we're getting there. It feels like we're on the way. Today, we're going to be breaking down and discussing Supergirl Season 4, Episode 19, American Dreamer. The team deals with the side effects to James' PTSD stuff and superpowers and the repercussions of martial law with the Children of Liberty. This week, the director was David Harewood, and the story was by Dana Horgan, teleplay by Daniel Beatty and Jess Cardos. So, I feel...
Martian Manhunter got to direct.
Oh, shoot. You're right. Oh, that's great. This was a great episode. Good for him. I didn't even like think about the name because I wasn't prepared for that. But yeah, wow.
I didn't even think that was him. Well, look at that.
Initial thoughts. I liked the episode. So I don't know about you guys, but I feel like a proud mama bird whose baby bird just learned to fly. Dreamer was kick-ass in this episode.
Yes. I agree.
It feels like the training wheels came off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really proud of how that character has grown and evolved over a short time.
I was surprised by a lot of those powers.
Yeah, I mean, she's been sneaking them in here and there.
I mean, just like badass whips and
all that.
I was like, oh shit, she's Whiplash.
Kind of, yeah. But like, yeah, that's super cool. And her dreaming powers are awesome and helpful, but combat needs to happen too. So Brainy teaching her a way to harness her powers in sort of a physical manifestation is amazing. That's great.
Makes her a better member of the team. Cause like you said, the physical powers have to come. Cause what else are you going to do? Sit in a lab and dream?
It takes way too long to train to just physically be like a regular person superhero. We saw that kind of crap with Black Canary and Arrow. And it took Laurel so long. And like, even then it felt like she wasn't doing it for that long, you know, like in the scheme of time and how long it takes to truly build strength and reflexes and stuff like that.
No, it was kind of shocking. Did you guys think this was going to be a Dreamer coming out party?
No.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. But I appreciated a lot of things that they did. The whole interview with Dreamer was really smart on Kara's part. Because Supergirl was kind of doesn't really stand for hope in the eyes of the people right now. With the way that things are and her being framed and everyone kind of being... Most people believing that she did it, but I'm sure there's some people that believe that she didn't. I don't know. I think it was smart. It was a way to still instill hope in the people without risking Supergirl getting caught.
So I don't know. Like, for me, and I guess this is probably going to be a little negative towards it, I don't know what the whole point, like, of the continually repeating that I am half alien, half human, and trans.
That point was, and I think a lot of it was also focused in the episode with Agent Liberty's son.
Uh-huh.
And how he's having a hard time now that he's seeing so many aliens and the way that they react to having members of their family snatched from them. He's having a hard time separating, you know, what is alien anyway? Because these look like people, and even if they don't look exactly like normal humans, they don't seem to be hurting anyone. They just seem like people. Yeah, they're different, but they're people, and they're just sitting at home with their families. They're not committing crimes. They're just existing. And because of that, they're being taken from their homes and they're being, you know, hunted down. And I think all of that was a way of all of the dreamer stuff and her repeating all of this. So the transgender thing was mostly just about, like, hey, I've been dealing with the fact that I'm different, obviously, to people for a long time. There was a transition and stuff like that. But the part that people don't see is that I'm half alien and half human, because she just looks human.
Uh-huh.
And there's no way to tell. You know, it's not like she has little horns that she hides, or she has, like, eyes that blink weird or something. You know what I mean? Like that kid whose eyes kind of flicked.
I think just for me, the whole point of the interview was supposed to be for the alien-human relation. I just didn't understand. They've done such a good job about the trans thing all year, about not kind of pushing it in somebody's face. It just, for me, it felt like it was pushing it in my face.
Really?
Yeah.
I think this instance, it wasn't, because she kept going off on, like, all of the things, all of the labels that kind of make up little bits and pieces of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she started with transgender woman, and then she went, I'm a Gryffindor. I am House Stark. I am, and just, you know, started going down this list of.
This seems like something that should be on a dating profile.
Yeah, but I think that was the point.
I'm actually just making jokes. Oh, okay. Now. Like, those should be important things. Like, if you're looking for somebody to swipe right on, that they should list those things about themselves.
Right.
Like, as far as nerd culture goes. Like, yeah, I'm this, 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 and this. Okay, I can get along with you.
But, it was simply meant to normalize what is being considered, like, weird or wrong right now.
What'd you think, Nicole?
Well, I'm pretty much on Lauren's side. Like, the whole point of that interview was to make her, or make everyone see that aliens are just as human as actual humans, and that you can relate to them, and they are not bad, and they are just like you. And I mean, the mention of being transgender even allowed the gay community to connect with Dreamer even more. Not just the fact that she's half human, half alien, but also she is part of the LGBT plus community. So I didn't really see a problem with it.
Okay.
Especially since she wasn't like, I'm trans. By the way, I'm trans. By the way, I'm trans. She wasn't like that. It was like she mentioned it once or twice, and that was it.
Yeah, I thought it was just the one time.
I think
it might have been twice, when she was kind of going more into detail about her her hometown and how inclusive they were, even though, you know, things are a little bit weird sometimes. Also, like, the whole Dreamer interview too, it's just like, no one can say she fights for anyone's specific side, I think, like, from the outside looking in, because she's not an alien hero and she's not a human hero. She's both. And to try and define her as one or the other is asinine, I think. So, I think it was a smart call on Kara's part.
Was this like a good throwback to, what was it, season one?
Was that season one?
When she made the speech at Catco, and they took over the store, they took over I think it was about the same thing. They took over the airways and they couldn't get them off.
Yeah. Same sort of deal. Hey, let me introduce you to this hero.
Yeah. This is what I'm about. This is what I do.
Yeah. No, that was good. It was a good callback to that. Definitely. That was season one, wasn't it? Because that was like her first big introduction to...
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with that just because Calista Flockhart was still on the show full
time.
Right,
right. I don't know. I thought it was good. I thought it was smart. And the fact that they were, I guess, kind of prepared to be caught or be confronted, at least, was... I don't know. That was interesting. It was just like, why aren't you leaving? Like, you're prepared to stand and fight right now, but like, cool. You could have just gotten out of there.
I'm digging the Kara undercover fighting.
I am too. I like it a lot.
That's pretty fun.
Because you're just looking at ways, like I think Nicole described it perfectly. It's fun. It's a new way to like, how is she going to get these powers without exposing herself?
Yeah, it brings a totally new element to it because she can't just like barge her way through a hallway.
Yeah.
She has to get real creative throughout the entire process so that she doesn't give herself away.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering how it would have gone down if they hadn't cut the lights, if Alex and Brainy hadn't come over there and like pulled the lights for them. You know, like
probably not.
How well would that have gone?
Not so well.
Maybe not.
You think the writers are sitting there going, all right, so they're going to come in and they're going to start fighting. And she's going to have to use her powers undercover. So go ahead and write that. And they're like, this is fucking hard. Cut out the lights. Oh, way easier now. Thank you.
Oh, this is so much better.
Yeah, way easier.
Yeah.
Why am I going to do that? You mean I can buy pre-cooked chicken?
Can we also appreciate the Brainy and Dreamer moments? Again, super cute. And now we finally see that Brainy is totally in love.
Oh, yeah. What does love feel like?
This awkwardly cute admittal of love.
I know we say this about every week about him, but the more and more that he grows as a character, I'm going to call him like comeback player of the Arrowverse ever.
Oh, absolutely. We hated him so much and we love him now. That I don't think that there's been some characters that have really like
shit the bed.
Yes. Not what I was going to say. I was going to say characters that have really made a turnaround with us, especially like, no, never like this.
No,
never like this. It was like, I don't really know about them. And then like, yeah, OK, their character growth has been amazing.
No, we hated this character.
We hated him.
Hated him.
We trashed this little dolphin for a while.
Yes.
Sparkly dolphin.
I mean, everything about it.
Yeah. Didn't she even like make a joke about that with him? Like Dreamer made a joke about like, don't you want to get your little dolphin skin on and come join us or some shit? Like recently.
She said like go like blue green or something
like
that.
Yeah, it was blue green or something. I don't know what it was. So like even they recognized that and made fun of it a little bit.
I think that's the answer for all shows and movies and everything else is to answer the internet in some way or fashion through dialogue.
Mm-hmm. It's
you just
it's
have to
charming.
Look for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just embrace what was found to be cheesy or kind of lame and go like address it in some way. Don't just retcon it and pretend it never happened.
Uh-huh.
And just like, okay, well, moving on. I think that's it.
Yeah, we have the ability to fix this.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of good opportunities, Kara did great with the Dreamer thing. It was a smart choice. It was on the nose. And then she totally blew it, right? She totally blew it with Lena.
Okay, were you guys sitting there going, here it is. She's going to take off her glasses.
I fucking wish she did. God damn it. Me how too. Much longer?
Well, okay, so is there going to be like any better moment than that moment
no.
this week?
No.
She's so vulnerable. She's looking for a friend. Supergirl's been there for me. Take off the glasses
she's
and be like
a huge secret too.
Yeah.
A huge secret.
It would have been so perfect.
It was so
it could have been like, Well, actually, I have been here the whole time for you. Dun, 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 dun. Take the glasses off.
Do the Wonder Woman spin and be in the costume. Yes.
Anything.
It was definitely a missed opportunity. And honestly, I was sitting in there watching it Monday night or whenever I watched it. And I was like, here it is. They're finally fucking doing it. Yes, yes, yes.
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Nope, nope. They're just going to hug it out and cry and...
Listen, it better be a good reveal. It yeah. better go well with Lena, too. Like, she better be like, I've always known her. You know what I mean? Like, something.
I almost wanted to be like, yeah, idiot, I already knew.
Yeah, just...
Knew from day one.
Because it was such a perfect moment that they blew.
Yeah. Completely missed opportunity.
And honestly, it would have fit with the theme of the show. It's uh-huh. like we had Jimmy going through his shit, his sister finding out what's the real story there. You know, Dreamer coming out to the world. All these different things happening, and it would have fit with the theme, and they fucked it up.
Yeah.
I'll say it. I don't care.
I'll say it.
I said it.
It
fucked up.
Yeah, honestly, it just, they better make it up to us is how I feel about it. That is how I feel. You absolutely better, like, make it good.
I don't know how we could get any better than what was set up. That I think that's my biggest issue with it. Is yeah. It's got to be something amazing. If it's something just totally weak. And it would have been such a good scene because Katie McGrath, you know, when she gets all emotional and starts, like, crying and shit, you believe it. And just for Kara to be like, I have something to tell you, friend. I've been here the whole time. I'm here for you. And then they all would have balled together and had some ice cream or do whatever they do, you know, to watch, go watch TV.
Go watch TV with ice cream and wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would have been great, but no.
And I think at that moment, no. she would have been like, Lena would have been so vulnerable. Can't talk. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. That it would have, I think she would have accepted it so much better. Like, I think Nicole said it, she was exposing herself right there. And so much secrets. And I don't know. It was the more upsetting of the scenes for me, where I was just like, y'all missed out. Uh-uh.
Yeah, for real. I that's how I feel.
same.
I'm baffled that they didn't choose this opportunity to do it.
It better be setting up for something much better. But knowing them, they're probably going to be predictable.
And it's going to be Lex.
Them, it's going to be fucking Lex.
It's going to be Lex exposing it. She's going to be mad.
Yeah, and we're going to have that bullshit going into the next season. How much you want to bet? I could write for this show.
Well...
We'll see if it actually plays out, though.
It just seems the way that it's gonna.
Yeah.
They love creating the friendship drama.
The forced drama.
Don't fall into the tropes.
Always. And yes. that's just a CW trope.
Yeah.
The
Arrowverse trope.
I always, like, laugh because I don't... Did you ever see, like, the Family Guy episode of South Park where they have, like, the porpoises or whatever picking the topics? And then they push the balls through the thing and they're like, all right, we're going to go 1980s and fart jokes. And then they put them together. I think CW has that with some of these shows that they go through and they're like, they're spinning the bingo wheel and they're like, what falls out? Secret exposed by enemy. that's
okay,
what we're going with this year.
Let's do it.
Yep.
Let's get to writing, everyone.
Yep. It's like, oh, we only have these 10 balls and these 10 different stories. Let's do this.
I haven't seen eyes that crazy since I had fondue with Ramona Singer.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Did you?
I don't think I do. Good God.
I'm just amazed that Tony could fall asleep during a show.
I know. I didn't.
Is he awake right now? I can't see him.
His eyes are too squinty. I'm not certain.
Oh, that's racist. That should be a meme. That should be a meme. Could someone take a picture of Tony and say, okay. I'm not sure if he's sleeping or if he's just Asian.
I'll sneak him.
How
I'm looking off into the horizon.
I'll sneak a picture later.
Maybe that's why I didn't know he was asleep.
You thought he was
looking off into the horizon.
I thought it was just Asianized.
Yeah.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tank Exclusive.
That's its operation.
However, hey, we don't want to miss it, because what if it ends up being true? No matter how fake it may be, Amidala coming back to life, Lando suddenly having a daughter because someone's also black like him. I mean, let's forget the subtle racism of that.
Because everyone who's black is related to Lando.
They're not, Dave. They're not. You mean all black people in the universe is not connected to Lando?
Well, remember, there are people out there that still say Finn, the big surprise is going to be Finn is related to Lando.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, guys, did you guys not learn anything from watching Get Out? I mean, casual racism is the worst form of racism.
It is.
It's when you don't even realize you're being racist, right? I hope it's not just a cameo. Like, if they're going to bring Carl Weathers in, give him a fair shot. Give him something to sink his teeth in. Let's see Carl Weathers, you know, play the role of the lifetime and finally shake off the Apollo Creed funk.
He's so charismatic.
What if he's related to Lando? I mean, what if he's...
To stay away from that.
No, I'm just saying, what if Apollo Creed's like Lando's brother?
Because he's black.
Well, yeah, according to some people, all black people are related in Star Wars. I think he might end up being Finn's father and Lando's brother. That means Finn is Lando's nephew.
What happens if they actually do that?
I'm probably going to throw my popcorn at the screen. I'm like, oh, you
son of a bitch.
You sons of bitches.
Excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Bacta Tank. That is to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off, plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN, because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
Let's move on to her estranged, well, not Kara, but Lena's estranged lover. Well, I guess both, yeah. Except James and Kara are friends still and not really estranged. But anywho, James, hey.
Hey, James.
So, James is, every time he has a PTSD thing, it's kind of like activating a new power, which is crazy. He has so many, or who knows if they'll all stick around, but like, holy crap. The whole, I don't know. This was, I felt like if this was a James Olsen TV show, this would have been a good story, but I feel like this is Supergirl, and I don't know. It's like there was no reason to even have Kara involved. There was almost no reason to have Alex or Brainy there, other than like Alex was a bit part player in this, providing support to James's sister. And
you still think they're lesbians?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. 100%.
Yep, still.
They're going to bone. Taking it on down to Bone Town. And Brainy was the one actually, like, making his trip down trauma lane possible. But, like, I don't know. Like, it's not that it wasn't, like... I'm conflicted about this. It's not that it's not a good little, like, storyline. Like, oh, my God, like, you wanted to be there for your dad's funeral, but these bullies, they trapped you in a coffin. And, like, holy crap, that's traumatizing. Like, no wonder you stuffed that down. And he's a great actor, and he did a wonderful job with all of this. But did we need it?
That was my question, was what purpose does this serve to the current storyline? Like, this better just be setting it up for
Guardian better
craziness.
Guardian better be like Supergirl's partner. It better be like the dynamic duo from here on out. Like, if he's getting this much backstory stuff for his traumas and like.
Yeah, because it wasn't even like we knew enough about the sister to care. Like, oh, well, now she knows too.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was a new character that we needed to get to know. I think that's what, like, I don't know if you agree with me, Nicole, but like, think back to Dreamer, right? And we went to her family's house and we learned about her past and this and that. And she was discovering her powers. But that felt more natural because we were getting to know her for the first time, right?
Yeah. But this one seems kind of out of place. I mean, like you said, like, side story wise, it's a pretty decent side story. But why right now?
Right. We're getting into the last few episodes. Why right now?
Like, this better mean that James is going to be the one to, like, end Lex.
Because, yeah, does kryptonite affect him?
Ooh. I don't know, but he certainly has Kryptonian laser eyes.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly he's part Kryptonian? I don't know.
Well, I mean, the Harrenel, definitely, you know, it was a form of, like, kryptonite sort of stuff, right? Like, it's like black kryptonite sort of.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that makes sense then.
So okay. Let me ask you guys this. Since they were trying to science the shit out of this and then do the, you know, the psychobabble of, you know, freeing his mind from the pain.
Yeah.
If Lena figures it out, is he going to take the cure?
I don't know. Because I think if he can overcome the mental trauma and stabilize himself as far as PTSD is concerned and overcome the trauma of being shot and overcome his childhood traumas, he's working through all of that. He has a good support system. If he can overcome that, I think he's going to keep the powers and learn how to control them.
Okay. I just...
He's the man who idolized Superman.
Oh,
and,
I know,
and then
I know.
Became
this
best
is,
friends with him. And then idolized Supergirl. And then, did bang his cousin.
Did they actually have sex?
Yeah, they dated for, like, a little while.
I still think of her as a virgin.
Is she too pure?
Definitely
she's definitely
Mono,
not.
So.
Yeah. I was about to say.
Whatever.
That is her and Mono are definitely going at it. A lot.
Yeah.
I
superpower sex.
I would have too.
Superpower sex. I just always wonder what they're going to end up doing with this, because I don't know where he fits. In my twisted mind of storytelling, he doesn't fit.
We also don't know what powers are going to stick.
Like, every week's a different power.
Well, I mean, his body is going through this weird change right now.
Oh, puberty sucks.
I know. It's power puberty. so he had laser eyes. He had some, like, levitation. He had all these things. Now is his body freaking out? And is it going to settle on a couple, you know, powers? Or is he going to have all of them? We don't really know for sure. We don't know anything for sure about the side effects of the Harrenel other than powers. So, who knows?
The only thing... And this is a little jumping ahead. Could he end up fighting the Agent of Liberty in some superpower fight off because, you know, of what we saw at the end of this episode. I'm trying to piece stories together in my head because I figure we're going to, you know, Russia's Stan, whatever part of the country they're going to, you know, to do the Red Cosnia? Daughter thing.
Cosnia.
Okay. I was like, wait.
So they're going to go there and figure that shit out.
Right.
And Agent of Liberty is still going to be here. Martian Manhunter's coming back. So we have to have something going on. And I don't think Supergirl going to Russia, you know, is going to fix America.
No,
not at all.
And so that's why I think maybe Jimmy takes on that mantle against the
Agent Liberty. Yeah, I think so.
Because he used him in the past.
I think so. He's got a bone to pick.
Right. And that's the only logical story thing I could come up with in the last 2.5 minutes or whenever I started thinking about it.
You seemed real angry at Agent Liberty when he was trying to storm Catco, angry enough to fold his gun in half. And you'll get, that's like the angriest and scariest I've ever seen. He went James.
Scary. You mean he went nice. Scary black man?
Oh boy. He did. He went big scary man. And I was like, okay.
Scary man.
All right. Yeah, I don't know.
Let's be honest here. I am so over the Children of Liberty. I'm ready for it to be done. I'm just over it.
Is that how you feel about the current social climate?
Yes. I'm also over that.
I'm ready for society to be done.
Apocalypse. People just grow the fuck up.
Right. Learn how to have discussions like adults if you have differing viewpoints. Wow. Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that like?
No black, no white, no gay, just people. And if you like me, I like you. It's really easy.
It'd be lovely.
I mean, that's how I am. Why can't other people be that way?
Other people have their heads too far up their own assholes. All right. But anyway. but yeah, the Children of Liberty are stronger now than they have ever been, with more authority than they have ever had. And they're like fully deputized. They are acting as like a branch of the government, basically. And I'm almost amazed that we had like the bar scene, like the bar fight with Dreamer and the Catco fight scene in the same episode.
Yeah.
It's actually been a while since we've had any good action scenes.
But also it feels like the story progressed a lot in this episode.
Uh-huh.
It felt like a lot happened when I look back at it and like think about things written out here in front of me and stuff. But I didn't feel like I had watched. I didn't feel like I had taken in so much information after the episode was over. I felt like, okay, cool. Yeah, that was a good episode of Supergirl. But wow, thinking about it now, like reflecting on it kind of for the first time, a lot happened. I feel like we pushed way forward. At least with like where the characters are at and how ready they are to take down these issues and stuff like that. You know, we've got Lex being tracked down now by Lena and Supergirl. They're doing it together. Lena knows how to crack all his codes. So they are finding him. They're tracking him down. They're going to stop him. Whatever. Cool. Great. That's happening. Now, the Children of Liberty are going after everyone, but Dreamer is absolutely standing up to them. And now so is James with her, you know, with the end of the Catco scene and everything. Like, I'm impressed with Dreamer's fighting. I'm impressed with her powers and her control over them that she's been working on for, you know, a few months now, and she's really starting to pull it off. She's figuring out her superhero phrases too. They're a little cute and a little cheesy. Isn't it past your bedtime? They're all like sleep and dream.
That was definitely the corniest part of this entire episode.
Look, I'm all about puns. I think those are hilarious.
I think it's great because she's all like cute and proud of them too.
Well, because if you think about it, I hate to admit that I actually somewhat like this movie, but Batman and Robin, when he's like, "Holy rusty metal, Batman!" And he's like, what did you say? He's like, holy rusty metal. And he starts banging on the layer. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny because I miss those puns from back in the day of, you know, the old Batman 66 and some of the older comic books that, you know, were all about how can we make put bat in something. It's a Batarang. It's a Batmobile. It's this. It's this. And, you know. There's nothing wrong with simpler days of puns for me.
No, no, I agree. I think it's cute, especially because it fits her character.
It does. It really does.
She's not so serious. She's just excited.
Well, she hasn't been hardened yet either.
No. She's excited to be doing this, and she really is still like wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, and just like stoked to be a part of something and just filled with hope. So yeah, she has not been hardened, or as anyone that is not a superhero would say, just jaded. just horribly, horribly jaded and wounded by life.
Give it time.
Not as a born out of tragedy like most superheroes we see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a little bit, like when she actually finally decided to take up the mantle. But her life story isn't a tragedy. You know, she lost her mom tragically, but she grew up in a very accepting place where she had the opportunity to kind of just be nurtured and accepted and taught to be very, you know, equality focused, and you're a person, and as long as, you know, you treat other people okay, I like you. That's it. Or at least I'm going to, you know, respect you and treat you with decency and kindness. Speaking of decency and kindness, and someone who is lacking any of it, boom. What's up?
Transition.
Yeah,
nice
right?
Segue.
Thank you. I am a professional. Agent Liberty, man. So I'm low key pissed that because his son showed signs of what he would deem weakness as far as the aliens are concerned, that he was just like, nope, go on the rest of like the route for the day, picking up aliens and snatching them from their families and stuff like that. And like, I am a bit proud of his son for the way things ended up with him being him questioning things and thinking, oh my God, maybe my dad's viewpoints are not absolute. Yeah. Maybe, you know, just because he's my dad, I don't need to totally, you know, just abide by everything that he says and everything he believes.
Yeah. I've always had that theme or that thought in my head that racism is taught to kids.
Oh, 100% it is.
Yeah.
It is absolutely taught.
Absolutely is.
And so this was one of those scenes where, you know, as you grow up, you realize that your parents aren't always right about things. And I did appreciate the fact that he ran into a friend and saw his friend was different. And OK, cool. I understand that now.
Yeah, it just absolutely solidified it for him. You know, he questioned it to his mom and his mom was like, no. Daddy's teachings are absolute, like just like fucking okay, robot mom.
Yep, brainwashed bitch.
Yeah,
is that and, like a semi Stepford wife.
Oh, totally.
Oh my God.
But then you know, having him go and run into that friend, he realized, I thought that you know all of these roaches were just bad people, just you know. Scourge of the earth, trying to take our planet from us, trying to take our home, trying to take and not give anything back. But this kid is my friend. I go to school with him. We hang out. I know him. I know who he is at his core, and who he is, his character is good. So I'm supposed to hate him just because he's from a different place. And it finally sunk in with him. And I don't know about either of you, but when Agent Liberty gets home, sees that alien creeping out of his house, and finds his wife dead, I normally don't wish anyone to die in this show unless they themselves
it's
are the
right
villain.
To admit that you didn't feel bad.
Oh, I felt good because that to me was a sign that Agent Liberty's going down. He's going to get pissed, but he's going to go down, and his son is going to turn on him hard.
Because you're an asshole, my mom died.
you're an asshole. My mom died. This happened because you are taking aliens away from their families for not doing anything wrong. You are breeding all sorts of anger, hatred, and resentment in this country. And hey, guess what? Some of these people are decent. They turned to murder because, you know, you ruined their lives.
On the flip side, his argument is going to be aliens are bad. This is why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cringed after.
Yeah, I was like,
you're absolutely right.
You dumb bitch. Why did you let him see you? Like, that was my first reaction.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For TV.
Yeah. I was like, what? You couldn't have done this 5 minutes earlier, maybe been a little bit quieter.
Hey, he threatened her at the beginning.
That's true.
Repercussions suck.
Yeah.
But I mean.
But yes, he's definitely going down.
Yeah. I just, because he's going to start getting angrier and angrier. And
he's going to get real irrational. He already has a little bit.
Yeah. He's going to lose that temper and he's just going to be rash. He's going to make mistakes. So.
Yeah.
Is it funny that the more he starts breaking, the more he's looking like his Star Wars character from the video game that I can't remember right offhand?
The Force Unleashed?
Yeah.
Force Unleashed, yeah.
He also plays Darth Maul in the cartoons.
Yeah, that's why I went video game.
And current video game that just dropped this past week, Days Gone. He is the main character. And the I really like facial model.
Yeah. I really like Sam Witwer.
Facial model sounds funny.
Why?
Porn.
He's the character model.
Sounds funny because of porn. Sorry.
Sorry for making you say it. but yeah, he is the main character in Days Gone, and that's a super story heavy game too. So he's been doing some of that.
He's a great actor.
Yeah. I like having him on this show a lot. You kind of love to hate him.
I almost wish he wasn't I kind of wish he wasn't the villain.
Right.
So that he could stay on the show.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he is doing really well as Ben Lockwood.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's he's killing it. He's knocking it out of the park. Okay, so overall, how did our Martian Manhunter do as director? What do you guys think?
I mean, it with the directing thing, it's so weird. I mean, he didn't do anything out of normal, I guess, and I think that's what you really want, that it feels like any other episode.
Yeah.
And you know, the cuts and everything and all the shots were done well. I mean, even the fight scenes, which we haven't seen in a while, but I mean, if we didn't read names, we wouldn't be. Usually the directors that are bad are the ones that you kind of stand out. You're like, who the fuck directed this, because this looks like shit. Doesn't feel like a Supergirl episode.
Yeah.
And so since this felt like a Supergirl episode, I think he did well.
I agree. He did pretty good. Like, everything was pretty smooth. The cuts between everything, the way everything was shot. I enjoyed the episode overall. Like, I really wanted to get to that climactic part already. But for an episode that is setting all of that up, It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think noting that it felt like an episode of Supergirl is spot on. That is part of what made it good, is that it felt like it fit in. He didn't deliver anything like crazy, but you don't always need to. Not everything needs to be a giant spectacle. It was a solid story. It progressed the story and the character development along. The James thing was a good story. It felt a little too deep into his own personal traumas for not much payoff when we don't have a lot of episodes left. I would have liked to have seen that earlier on, like a couple episodes ago, when maybe there wasn't as much going on or something. But overall, the story was good. And I mean, even just past the directing stuff, Dreamer's powers looked great. I know that it's very easy to do any sort of CG and powers in the dark, but, you know, Kara's powers looked good. Solid overall. I mean, I don't really have complaints about this episode other than nitpicking the James thing, but that is kind of nitpicking.
But and it's one of those things that it could pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Again, if they end up going the route where he need, you know, Agent of Liberty gets powers, they end up having some fight towards the end to conclude their story. You know, it kind of ends that arc, ends that story.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I would actually really like to see that, especially with how much they were like, he's a human hero, blah, blah, blah. He fights for the humans, 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 humans first. I would love to see them duke it out. There's a little bit more personal emotion there, too, from James feeling like he was just used by them. And he arguably was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I would love to see that. I hope they go with that, you know, whether or not Agent Liberty gets powers or whatever. But, yeah. So, all right. I think that kind of covers it.
Yeah.
Any final words, anyone?
Honestly, this is one of those episodes that I wasn't so sold on. And when we come in and talk about these things for 40, 45 minutes, I feel better about the episodes.
That's nice. Yeah.
So thank you, guys.
That's good.
It's our own therapy session.
That way too. Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of DC on RMD Supergirl Edition. We will catch you next week.
People want cuddles.